You've got tourism participation.
Yes.
Just change the slides. Just change the slides, definitely.
Good.
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me along. Can I just check how long I've got on this? Because I can do these slides in a short, medium, or long version. Should we go to leaving? And then perhaps take the question.
Let's try the short one first.
Okay. So I'll give a presentation on current careers guidance on Isle of Wight and also the impact that has on participation of post-16 education leaving people. I've approached this on the basis that I don't think this is an annual or regular report, so I'm going to briefly go through the Department for Education statutory duties so that we're clear what the duty is in the local authority as opposed to individual schools. I will go briefly through the National Career Strategy, which is a key document which underpins all careers guidance that we're required to deliver to young people now. I'll explain what the local provision looks like through primarily the Isle of Futures team as part of the Isle of Wight Council. I'll talk about the performance of the Isle of Wight Council against our statutory duty for young people's participation in education. And I'll talk about some wider partnerships and activity because the success, and what I will present, I think, is a successful position, depends a lot on partnership working, bringing in other funding, and we have done that well. Okay, so first of all, two slides just to separate the statutory duty. Local authorities have the statutory duty to ensure young people participate in education until they're 18. That's called RPA. It was introduced in 2015, so we're now 4 years into that situation, just starting the fifth year. So as it says, we secure suitable, sufficient education and training provision. That means we need to work with local college and training providers and apprenticeship providers to make sure that all young people on the island have access to a good quality educational training offer. And that's not only going to say good, we're not just talking about good in terms of Ofsted, looking good in terms of relevance to the local economy, so that the offer that's available post-16 meets the types of jobs that employers are looking for, so that it's the relevance. We have a duty to encourage, enable and assist young people to participate, so that is the role of the Isle of Futures team. They are there to support young people in key stage 4, particularly in year 11 around careers guidance, to make the right choices to participate and transition into post-16 education. Also, we have a duty to track that participation and report to the department. And where young people are not in education, employment training, NEET as we call them, to caseload and do some intensive work with those young people. Quite often, they're the type of young people, as we just heard, that might have had poor attendance at school, they have other multiple social issues that they're addressing. Our focus is on helping them to progress into post-16 education or employment. Statutory duty for careers guidance actually sits with schools, not with the local authority, and has done since 2012. And so schools have that duty to provide careers guidance in years 8 to 13. So we will traditionally think about young people having a careers guidance interview with a careers advisor in year 11. And that still happens, and the majority of the careers activity happens in that way. But there is now a requirement for a broader offer to young people, which schools must provide. And that duty on schools was updated in 2018 with new statutory guidance in line with the government's career strategy. So the career strategy was published in December 2017, active from January 2018. And that new requirement set out a set of careers measures, which I'll go through shortly, but it means that schools now have to have a clear, distinct careers leader role within their workforce. They have to publish their own careers programme annually on their website, and they have to provide access to, and this one is particularly relevant to the Isle of Wight, they have to provide access to providers of further and technical education as part of their careers offer. So the career strategy, so this is the document. It completely changed the careers landscape from 2017. Introduction of the Gatsby benchmarks. So the Gatsby benchmarks were not new in 2017. They were actually introduced in 2013. It was part of the Gatsby Foundation did a report on good careers guidance. And they had sat there for 4 years, and the government then found what a good idea, we're going to adopt the significantly alarming career strategy. And that slide sets out the 8 benchmarks. I won't go through them individually, but to summarise, some of those are statutory requirements. So, for example, number 1, schools must provide a stable careers programme. That's the one that includes publication of their careers programme on the website, having a careers leader. Another example, though, encounters with employers and employees, number 5, that is the traditional work experience. The guidance says schools should, doesn't say they must, so that is optional. And in an environment where schools are stretched for budgets, part of the challenge here is supporting schools to meet all 8 of the Gatsby benchmarks. So some of them are statutory requirements and duties, some aren't. The government's ambition, and our ambition as a local authority, is for all schools to have adopted all 8 of those benchmarks by September 2020, so for the 2021 academic year. We feel it's important that they do, and we're doing all we can within our team to support them to do that. Part of the way of doing that is securing grant funding for the island where we can supplement the school's budgets. So the Island Futures team, that is essentially our careers team at the Island Wide Council. A potted history of where they've come from. People will probably remember Connections, so that's Connections with an X. You've probably never heard of that for a while, because that shut down in 2012. So that was the government's national careers guidance programme. In 2012, the Connection service was shut down and staff and responsibility was tuned across to local authorities. So people remember the Connections office. Mm-hmm. They used to be in the High Street, the Old County Press Building. And people might remember then that became changed overnight and called Choices. And we called it Choices until 2015. And then in 2015, with the strategic partnership with Hampshire County Council, it became Island Futures. And as part of the budget restrictions, we can no longer have that High Street premises. We took a different approach by using outreach venues such as libraries and maximising things like digital technology to get that same service across to young people rather than having the cost of a High Street premises. So the Young Futures team deliver our statutory activities. So that duty around young people's participation, there are 3 things that we have to submit to the Department for Education every year. The first one is called intended destination. So at this time of the year, every year, we are engaging with year 11 young people and in partnership with schools to make sure that they have applied to do something next September. That transition to post-16. And so we make sure that they apply for college or they want to stay on a sixth form or they're interested in apprenticeship. We make sure those applications have happened and that there is a positive intended destination. And we are measured on our ability to do that. That leads on to the September guarantee. So the next stage is, have they applied for college as an example? Have they then been successful? Have they been offered a place at college? Have they been guaranteed a place in post-16 educational training? Again, we are measured against other local authorities nationally by how we perform. And then finally, the activity survey is the final piece. Okay, they were offered a place, did they actually then successfully secure that place, and we then monitor a half term or at the end of October, are they in that college course that they apply for and were offered? So they are the 3 elements. The Island Futures team delivers that all the way through. Before we get to that, so the piece that happens alongside us is the careers guidance happening in schools. So, and the key word in that second bullet is traded. So since 2012, as I said, the schools have had the statutory duty to deliver careers guidance. From that point, the council no longer had a duty to fund that careers guidance. We were offering it for free up to that point. We continue to offer it for free. One of the reasons being that there's a requirement for that careers guidance to be impartial. And the fairly unique situation we have in the Isle of Wight, where almost every school has its own SIP form. Sometimes the interests of the individual person aren't always the same as the interests of that school when you're looking at what they're going to do in year 12 and 13. So the impartiality is key to this. Therefore, we continued, the council made a strategic decision to continue to fund careers guidance in schools. It became harder and harder every year with budgets, and we reached a breaking point last year where the budget for our careers officers who were working in schools was no longer available. So we contacted the schools, explained that, but also explained that we still had that expertise for people that had been delivering careers in their schools for the last 10 to 20 years were still available, did they want to buy that service from us. Out of the 10 establishments now, I keep someone to say 11, the studio school frozen out of there. Out of the 10, 8 have purchased the career service from Iron Futures. The only schools that have decided to go a different route are Carisbrook and Medina. But they have invested directly in their own careers officer covering those two schools. We are working with them to help assure that impartiality because it brings that situation back into place. So we are now delivering careers guidance in 8 of the 10 schools or establishments. We recognise that there's a pressure on their budgets as well. So we introduced a transition year offer. So a careers guidance day costs £200 per day. That's what we normally charge, and that's comparable to what we charge in Hampshire, £200 a day for a qualified careers advisor. For the schools and establishments on the island, we have funded that at £100 a day for this academic year to offset the impact on their budget and to try and encourage them to continue to invest and provide the same level of careers advisors to their young people. There was a risk when we took away the free service that schools, with their budget pressures, would do the bare minimum. The really good news is that there are more careers days happening in schools now than there was 12 months ago. We currently have 150 days being purchased through the 8 schools that we're working with. And Medina and Carisbrook having their own full-time dedicated careers officer bumps that up to well over 200. Previously we were delivering as part of the free service 160. So in summary, 160 days last year is now 200 days. So despite that background of budget pressure, somehow we've managed to, with the support of the focus of the graduate benchmarks, retain the emphasis of careers guidance and good careers guidance in schools, and the good news is that they will invest. Supplementary to that careers guidance, again, still on that second bullet point, the Iron Futures team coordinates all Iron events so that all young people and their parents and carers and brothers and sisters can come and look at the careers opportunities that are available. So every year, for the last 6 years, we've run a all Iron careers fair hosted at the Isle of Wight College. This year was the 6th. It was the biggest we've had. We had over 800 people attend. Previous high was 650. We've looked at the reason why, and it's during half term in October. The fact that half term was 2 weeks definitely helped us there. Because by the 7th week, we were told by young people they were looking for things to do, so they'd go to a career. So that was really good. We also have National Apprenticeship Week events, which we hold at Newport Library. Again, really successful this year. Schools bring groups of young people in Key Stage 4 to that event. Young people in Key Stage 5 and those that need can come. It's available after school as well. And we've also now got youth conferences, which again is part of our wider engagement with young people as part of careerism. We've had two conferences at Council Paper, and the good thing is that's also impacting on council strategy. So 2 years ago, we used it to have a conversation with young people about the draft generation strategy. And last year, we had a conference based on HE, Higher Education Development, and what did young people think? What were their aspirations? What was stopping them accessing HE if that was the case? And then the last piece that our future team does is that careers guidance in the community, so to meet young people that aren't in education. And I mentioned there that we supplement that through various grant-funded projects such as STEP, Virtual College, and NCOP. I'll go briefly through an example of those projects. Before I do that, I just want to put this slide up based on performance. So I mentioned that we are measured nationally, and there are league tables that are produced based on participation in post-16 education, this is year 2013, on how many leagues we have, and also on that September guarantee process, that support we provide to young people to guarantee them an offer of a place in education post-16. So you can see from that data, and the good news is that the Isle of Wight for the last 3 years, and our provisional figures, which are the figures in 2019, which is why there's no national comparison, we have been consistently above national average. People that might be observing, you'll see a slight spike in 2018 where the figures did drop down slightly. So for example, if you look at NEET for the Isle of Wight, we went 1.4, 1.9, 2.5, and then it's gone back down to 1.8. Now the spike for 2.5, twofold in 2018, and it's easy to blame the technology, we had two issues. One was we changed to a new data system called Canta, which caused us some challenges. And the second was the introduction of something called GDPR. And when we are doing this work, we are talking about using personal sensitive data on young people. And we had some issues in 2018 with sustaining the service based on that. The good news is in 2019, we are heading back in the right direction. Our participation is looking as strong as it ever has been. NEET is 1.8 provisional, I'm hoping that will go down even lower. And the September guarantee, 98.4, is significantly higher than anything we'll see at national level. Not quite as good as we did in 2017. That 99.1, and I want to share this because that was the highest figure in the Southeast region and in the top 5% nationally. So it's a positive picture. So a few quick examples of, and I mentioned about supplementing what we do with grant funding. And we've been successful in doing this. And the reason we have a very strong careers guidance offer and good post-16 participation is partly down to the way we've been able to use this funding. So one example is a project called STEP, which did stand for Student Training Employment Participation. We've changed the first word to skills because it is now delivered across the whole of Hampshire and Isle of Wight, not just the Soden area. We've got EM3 net money as well. It's a specific project to support young people who are NEET or at risk of being NEET. It spans across 15 to 24 year olds. So our statutory NEET are 16 to 18. This allows us to work with schools in key stage 4, looking at young people at risk of NEET and doing some additional work with them. So it's trying to prevent them becoming NEET rather than help them once they're already there. We've secured £150,000. Currently, that ends in July 21. Since I did that slide a week ago, we've had a letter from the Education Service Funding Agency that funding is being extended to March 23. There's a bit of irony there because it's a European Social Fund. We just had extra money given to us. I'm not in Europe anymore.
Just take it.
The programme is 2014 to 2020. All the money has to be allocated by 31st of March 2020. That's why we've just been given some additional funding. We've got until 2023 to spend it, and that's guaranteed regardless of the Brexit situation and the political situation. And the table there just shows you the type of activity that's happened as a result. So that's 277 neat young people enrolled, and you can see the types of outputs we've had. And half of them being supported to progress into education, including apprenticeships, which is really, really good. Virtual College is another grant-funded project. This one is specifically looking to support children in care and care leaders. So when we're talking about finding careers guidance to young people that are in need, we know from our data that a disproportionately high number of IE young people are those that are in care or leaving care. They need more support. Careers activity can't just be a single intervention. They need numerous, multiple casework, and that costs money. And so we've been able to use that European money to introduce what we call the virtual college. So people will be aware that we have a virtual school, the statutory responsibility to support children in care until year 11, and that statutory responsibility ends. But building on that virtual school model, continuing to provide that level of support. And what we do, for example, we ask our post 16 providers in Hampshire, and we're now asking the providers on the Isle of Wight to have a designated tutor in the same way that school would have a designated teacher. A person who is specifically there to be the coordinator of supporting the people that are in care from that cohort. We also, for those that need, provide that more intensive, multiple engagement with them. And you can see there that we've currently got 68 young people in years 11 and 13 that are in that virtual college cohort. And the challenge for us, the real value of doing this, is that the careers and the education element is only one part of those young people's life. They are engaging in social care and education. Quite often, the way we deliver our services is like this. And it's about trying to bring it together. And so what we're doing is, one of our members of staff attends the meetings that social care hosts. And at the same time, we're asking social care colleagues to come to the meetings we have young people around education and careers. And we're also trying to upskill our social care colleagues so they understand education and careers in a better way, so that we're all doing better for young people. On exactly the same basis, that more intensive careers guidance and providing that for young people in care and care leaders, we have that same priority for young people with special education needs and disabilities, who again often need more than one careers guidance interview to be able to make decisions and to progress. And they need that careers activity to be delivered in a different way. And we need to implement adaptive practice. We need to recognise, so for example, we deliver the careers service at St George's. A lot of those careers interviews would include parents, whereas a lot of the careers interviews in other schools would not, because that's the support that young person will need. So adaptive practice, taking into account individual needs, and prioritising the resource. And so when we looked at this, and this relates to the Ofsted inspection we had for 7 August 25 in December, and we looked at how many of the young people with special education needs and disabilities had had at least one careers guidance interview. And at that point, it was 60% compared to 33% of all young people. So that's a positive, because it shows that we're targeting the young people that need the support the most. That table shows the statutory reporting that we presented to Ofsted as part of that inspection. And again, it makes us look, we are better than regional, national. That table actually makes us look more than we are, and that's because we did find out the southeastern national data hadn't been updated. So when you look at that top line, participation, and we've got, sorry, I've got my glasses on, 89.1. Is that 89.1?
Yeah.
Compared to 48.7. And then you look at the not knowns for the southeast. 46.6. A lot of their not knowns needed to be moved However, what I can tell you is our Leatherwhite performance is still above South East and national averages. Okay. Just to summarise, those slides, and that was the quick version, so please break questions. So,
I thought it was very good.
In summary, we have a strong career bonus offering on Leatherwhite. Despite pressures on the budget, we've been able to increase the offer to young people in schools this year. We have been able to sustain and improve our careers offer to young people who are not in employed education and training. We have been able to bring in, and one thing that, I think, have I got the slide missing or skipped one? So partnerships, what we've been able to bring in the involvement of more employers through the Land Careers Partnership, which is essential in order to make sure that young people have those options to move into apprenticeships. Sorry, that's an important slide. The important part of that is the partnership. We've been able to also, as part of the work we're doing with Sovereign Housing locally, so there's a housing provider that has given us some funding for 1 year to recruit a new employer engagement coordinator with a specific remit to improve the links between employers and schools, to improve the work experience offered as available. Going back to the slide when I mentioned schools, the statutory guidance says schools should, not schools must. So some schools are offering work experience, some aren't. Some are offering a lot, some are offering not a lot. What we want to do is provide a strong offer across the whole island. So we've now got a new employee hosted by the Young Futures team, technically working with the Young Careers Partnership, with a specific remit to work with employers and work on those. And they will be working with the Chamber of Commerce and directly with employers as part of that work.
Thank you for that presentation. It's pretty comprehensive. Questions from councillors? Councillor Andre.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you. I mean, it's obvious that there is some extremely good work going on in this area. As we're aware from the national job statistics figures, we do have a higher rate of unemployment amongst the 18 to 24-year-olds. Can I ask, and obviously your work very much feeds into this, so can I ask, you said that you're obviously working with employers. Is that, I would imagine, predominantly on the island? Because if we can, there's always going to be that focus to try and retain our young people. But in reality, there are going to be opportunities off island that will come under that sort of umbrella. So how do you sort of work in that mix? Because if we're going to restrict ourselves solely to looking at the opportunities that are available through all the range of apprenticeships and working with companies on the island, are we not then restricting that offer to our young people?
Thank you, it's a good question. Two answers to it, really. So, absolutely, the careers guidance provided in schools is not so restricted to the island. But the importance is that we give young people a line of sight to employment. So some young people have aspirations to progress to further education, higher education. Others will want to stay on the island. It's understanding where they stand on that perspective. So we don't solely. What we've done more recently, and this has been an important part of it, is introduced labour market information into the careers guidance topic. So there are lots of careers guidance packages, and we have very highly qualified careers advisors, and they can do it by the book. And they can say to young people, okay, you want to be an architect, these are the grades you want, and these are the subjects you should focus on. Where things have really improved is that what we're now able to tell them is that also, these are the types of jobs that are available if you're interested in being an architect, both on the island and off the island. And so they can then make that choice. So it's the labour market information is the bit that hasn't traditionally been part of careers of islands. Certainly wasn't an art school, I can remember that. So it's an important part. The bit that's, I think the engagement with employers is more about giving young people a real life experience so that they might read from a book or hear from a careers advisor what's it like to work in hospitality. What they really need is to hear it from an employer who is the hospitality centre. Now that doesn't restrict them to only working in hospitality, but it gives them a flavour. The bit that's really important is when we're engaging with young people, because they are our residents. And so usually of their needs. They are restricted to being on the island. They're resident on the island, they have no money, and they're looking for work locally. So really important we include employers on that basis, so that the careers guidance that we're providing links directly to the jobs and what they're looking for. And that will help with that 18 to 24 unemployment figure. That European Social Fund project that we've secured is really important. It allows us to work up to the age of 24, which we would always have called youth unemployment. So it's needs 16 to 18, then youth unemployed 19 to 24. But that's enabling us to work with employers and young people to support them to access local jobs, hopefully support or help that unemployment figure come down.
Can I have a supplement?
Yes.
I'm sort of following on from that. Do you work at all with the voluntary sector? Because I frequently see that people that actually volunteer, that is a route to paid employment. And in fact, the council themselves have now launched a scheme to actually get volunteers into children's services, I'm sure you're aware, with the potential of a job at the end of it. So do you work with the voluntary sector?
Yes, quite often the young people we work with have a lack of employability skills and confidence and self-esteem, and providing an opportunity for replacement with voluntary organisation is vital. And there's actually a good example of that, both in regards of volunteering, but also the impact that the voluntary sector can have. So by bringing in the European Social Fund money to the island, not only have we been able to sustain our future service, but we're able to support organisations that provide programmes that support our people. A really good example of that is Dexter Radio.
The four P's. Yeah.
Okay, so people are probably aware of it. It's been running very successfully for 3 or 4 years. Young people go there, particularly young people with special education needs and disabilities, and it makes a massive difference to their confidence and motivation and communication skills, which all then lead into progression into educational employment. And there was a challenge with the ongoing funding of that 4 P's project, and we are using that European Social Fund money to do that.
That's good news.
And also to open it up so that so youth and young team are now interested in referring people to that programme. We've got broader need young people that are going to go. So it's not about its challenges, because the European Social Fund brings bureaucracy and different paperwork, which our fund is now hard, but we support them through that.
Thank you.
Councillor Cameron.
Thank you, Chairman. Very good presentation, quite impressed. Do you work with the Chamber of Commerce as well? Because I was aware a few years ago, I don't know if they still exist. There's another group called the Young Chamber. They've done a presentation in this chamber a few years ago and been successful as well.
We are. In a slightly different way, so the Young Chamber, and I know Ken Smith very well, was not there anymore, but when he started that programme, was more about an enterprise programme in Singapore. But the Chamber, well, we're talking about employers being vital. We want more employers to be involved to support young people in schools to make career choices and provide those opportunities. So the Ireland Careers Partnership I mentioned, the Chamber of Commerce, Steve Holbrook, who's the chief exec, is a member of that Ireland Careers Partnership. The person who we've just brought in as the employer education coordinator is going to be hosted by the Ireland Council based here on the third floor. But she will be working for Sinead Adams. Started all day, used to work at Sandy.
Yes, I know her very well.
She will be spending part of her week based at the Chamber of Commerce because she needs to be engaged with employers, linking with schools and bringing them together.
That's very good.
So, yeah, Chamber of Commerce is important.
That's good to hear. Can I just a query? What time, at what age group does the career guidance come into the schools?
So, the Gatsby benchmarks say that schools must provide careers guidance between years 8 and 13. The majority of that guidance still happens in year 11. The work that we do, the career guidance that the school provides from the Ireland Futures team, is happening in year 11.
Yeah, what worries me is the students are asked to pick their GCSEs. How does that tie in with career guidance? To me, the two should be intermingled. I want to be an architect, therefore what do I take? That's a simple one. I don't know what the hell I want to do. Sorry, excuse my language. I don't know what I want to do, but I have to pick my GCE options. Now,
Year nine.
But do you see what I'm saying? Do the two marry up? And secondly, is there any career guidance put into primary schools when children are looking to move forward? Just as an ideas strategy for them as they move forward.
It's a really good point. The career strategy makes reference to primary careers, as well as the primary careers part first. I completely agree, careers should be embedded in all education from primary. The challenge is, and that's why the Gatsby benchmarks have been set out, to try and embed careers activity within the curriculum, rather than it being an activity that happens alongside the curriculum. We are currently in Hampshire, so not only are we in Hampshire, we are piloting a primary careers programme with a view to, and as often the case, and what I would see as one of the advantages of the strategic partnership, we can try it in Hampshire, and if it works well, then we'll do it properly.
Thank you.
So we have a primary careers pilot happening at the moment in Hampshire. On the second point, it's much, unfortunately, is the situation, the challenges about the budget. Because the careers guidance, the careers interviews, is the school statutory responsibility. And it's the pressure on budgets. I'm sure the schools would all agree, and I agree, yes, it would be great if we could do a careers guidance interview every year 8. I've got a year 8 accountant's price for the right now. It would be fantastic for her to have a careers guidance interview at that point to help her choose her options. As the current situation isn't ideal, and it's something that we want to continue to work on. There is lobbying going on with government to try and increase and improve the careers budget. The challenge for me, a lot of the grant funding that we've been successful to secure is only available post-16. And we've been lucky with the SF, we can squeeze the 15-year-olds in. It's eligible. We have now securing additional funding to do that very exciting work. And if we could, we would. But we will continue to try to do that.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think, not being rude to anybody else, but that was very informative and hope for the future and for our youngsters. Thank you very much.